You're listening to the Create What You Speak podcast. My intention is to change the lives of 1 million women, one podcast at a time. Now let's get started. Thunder, feel the thunder. My name is Sloan Fremont, and today I'm going to talk to you about why you should eliminate words like kind of from your vocabulary. All right, well, here we are, another episode. Unfortunately, I do not have an update for you yet on my trip to Atlanta for the date that I'm going on with the new guy, because I'm recording this podcast early so I can get out of town this weekend. So you'll have to wait until the next episode to get that update. But I'll be posting on my Instagram when I'm gone, so you can follow me there, Sloan Fremont, and see how it's going. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the last episode I did on space, and I explained this story a little more and about why I'm getting on a plane to fly to Atlanta to meet a guy for a first date. All right, let's get into this week's show. So I really want to talk to you this week about why words matter and why you should eliminate words like kind of, and there's others we'll go through this week, from your vocabulary. Okay, so why would we even pay attention to this, right? Like, why is this even a big deal? And just like I said, because words matter. They do. And one of the phrases that makes me want to slap the shit out of someone is when they say they kind of did something, right? You know that. We kind of got things set up for the meeting. No, you either set up the meeting or you didn't. There's no in between there. Or I kind of told him how I felt. No, you either told him 100% how you felt or you didn't tell him. There's no in between there. And to me, the phrase kind of is like one of those dead fish handshake kind of phrases, right? So you know what I mean by dead fish handshake, right? When you meet somebody and they have this like weak, sweaty handshake, and it's the equivalent to a dead fish. And that's the kind of energy a sentence like using, when you use the word kind of, that's the kind of energy it brings to your sentences. It's on the fence language, right? It's language that causes you to not fully commit to something or not to be all there. And it keeps you on the sidelines and from sending a clear message and a strong statement to the universe about who you are and what it is you want. And there's a quote I'm reminded of when we talk about using words like kind of in things that, and we'll go through here a little bit more, but this quote brings up that non-committal energy that words like kind of bring. And this quote is by Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, G-O-E-T-H-E. I'll put this quote in the resources this week, but here's the quote. It says, "Until one is committed, there is hesitancy. The chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising one's favor in all manner of unforeseen incidents. Meetings and material assistance which no man could have dreamed would come his way. Whatever you can do or dream, you can. Whatever you can do or dream, you can begin. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now." And this is so true. This reminds me of when I moved here, when I just made the decision, right? And how I talked about in the early episodes about how the red carpet was unrolled for me. It's like when a decision is made, the universe, like all, everybody stands up and puts their arms up in the air. And it's like, yes, finally she committed. Finally she decided, right? And so using words like kind of, like, totally deflates that kind of energy. It brings you way, way down. And this part of the quote where it says, "Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness." And that's what I'm getting at today is getting us out of using that language that causes us to be hesitant about whatever it is we're talking about. And to me, that, again, that's wishy-washy language, and it gives you an out. It gives you, like, you're not fully committed. So I don't really, if it doesn't happen, then I'm not going to be disappointed. And usually we do this because we're too afraid to do the thing that we really want to do, or we're too afraid to say how we really feel. So let's talk about some more words that matter. Like, these are some common things that come up. So here's one. I have to do XYZ. I have to do it. And the secret is, no, actually, you don't have to do anything. You really don't have to do anything. You get to do some things, but you don't have to do anything. I mean, we live in a free society where you really don't have to go to work. I mean, you could decide to stay home and quit your job. Plenty of people have done it, and you won't be the first. And if you're going to do the thing, whatever the thing is, you get to do it, right? You get to do it. So knowing that, be there, right? Be fully present. Be there in the moment of whatever it is. And if you don't like the thing that you're saying you have to do, then take the steps to change it. I mean, that's what this whole podcast is about, right? There's 20 some episodes you can go back to and listen to that will give you ideas on how to do that. I was once on a date with a guy, and he told me the best advice he ever got from his dad was, be where your feet are. Be where your feet are. And I love that because when we get to do something, when we choose to look at something as we get to do it, it's changing our energy from feeling like something is a chore to understanding that something is a privilege. And if we're there, if we get to do it, let's be there. Let's really fully be present and be where our feet are. Okay, the next one, I am. This statement right here, this is one of the strongest statements anyone could ever say. Because what comes after that is going to set the tone for you, for your life, and for whatever it is that you're doing, because your brain is going to believe whatever you tell it. So if you tell yourself, I'm sick, I'm fat, I'm tired, I'm lonely, you're going to get all of those things, right? Because your brain is looking for that. That's your expectation. But if you switch that and you move that into more of a, I'm free, right? I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm in control. I'm what? What is it for you, right? I am what? What is it? This is one of those phrases that watch what you say. Really, really watch and listen to what you say with what comes after the phrase I am, because like I said, you're going to believe it. Your mind is going to believe it. Okay, another one. I don't have time, or I'm too busy. So I'm going to call bullshit on that and ask, are you really? I mean, are you? Because you know you don't really have to do anything. So therefore, you should theoretically be able to make time for anything that you want to do. So I think often this one is used as an excuse to do something because we don't want to do it, or because we're afraid to do the thing that we really want to do out of fear, or because we're using this wishy-washy language and we're not committed and we're just kind of sitting on the fence. This is one that, and I think this one has also just become normal for people to say, oh, well, she's too busy. Well, and no one ever calls anybody out on that. Like, really? Like, are you really that damn busy that you can't pick up the phone and call me for 5 minutes, or you can't, you know, whatever it is, right? So this one to me is it's like you just have to pay attention and start really questioning the things that you're saying. And especially with this, like, am I really that busy? I mean, it probably means I don't really want to do it, or I'm making the excuses because I'm afraid. And I read this quote recently that says, potential unrealized becomes pain. Potential unrealized becomes pain. And I think the excuse that I don't have time or I'm too busy, it's an easy fallback, and it talks us out of the things we want. And this phrase has probably killed so many dreams within people because it's so easy to buy into that. And back to the quote, potential unrealized becomes pain. It's like that pain, because you're not doing the things that you want to do, is going to manifest itself in other ways in your life, right? It's going to come out in other ways, like anger or frustration or sadness or whatever it is for you. So questioning yourself when you say, I don't have time, or I'm too busy, I think that's something we really have to start to pay attention to within ourselves. Okay, a couple more here. So I can't. So really? Just like above, like, you don't have time, or you're too busy. Really? You can't? I mean, why can't you? Start to ask those questions of yourself and see what you find on the other side of that. Another one, a really dead fish weak phrase right here is, I'm trying to, right? I'm trying to. What I'm trying to do is this. No, are you doing it or not? There's no, you're either doing it or you're not. You're not trying. You either are doing it or you're not. And you may not be where you want to be, but you're doing it, right? Like we talked about on one of the episodes before, right? When you want to change your life, it's not, I'm trying to change my life. It's, I'm changing my life. Chances are, this is a process for most of us. And you're not going to wake up tomorrow walking right into the new life that you want, right? It's a process. There's some steps to go through. So while you might not be into that new life that you want, you're in the process of it. You're not trying, you're doing it. So I think this one for sure is, it's a shift in the way that you look at your situation. If you take the words "I'm trying" out of it and maybe switch it to something like "I'm in process" or "I'm in progress," that takes, to me, trying implies failure. And I'm trying to do it, but I'm just trying, but I just can't, right? So "I'm trying" is super weak, dead fish language, does not serve a good purpose for you. Okay, another one. But, using the phrase but. So you may have heard this before, like the "yeah buts," right? Like when somebody says something, like if somebody says to you, oh, you know, let's use the example of if you want to follow your dream, like some idea that you have that you're trying to follow. And then somebody says to you, or maybe you even say it to yourself, you know, yeah, but I really want to do that. But, you know, it's like adding that "but" in the sentence, it limits you. It's an excuse. It hinders you because it's almost like you had this whoosh of energy going forward, right? With this positive idea, this energy just rushing forward, and using the word "but" immediately puts the dam up there. It stops that energy flowing. And it's like it's a dam, right? So that you put that stop down there by using the word but over time it's going to keep rushing in, right? That idea is going to keep coming in, and eventually that dam's going to break. And remember, potential unrealized becomes pain. So watching the words that you use, and especially one like "but," allows that energy to continue through you and continue to flow. So obviously there's a lot more that I could go on with about this, but the point of today in this show today is to bring to your attention that your words matter. The words you tell yourself, the words you speak to other people, the words you speak out loud, they matter. The title of the show is "You Create What You Speak." Abracadabra, the words abracadabra, and why I use that at the end of the show means to create what we speak. And just a few episodes ago, I told you about the jet setter, right? When I was thinking about the next person I wanted to date, the person that came to mind was a jet setter. And I'll be damned, the next person that came into my life told me that he was a jet setter. So this is what I mean when I say that words matter. They do, because you are going to pull in exactly what you create with your words, good or bad. And again, you guys, when I talk to you about this kind of stuff, I'm not telling, I never want to come across as preaching to you. I feel like I get really passionate about this, and I could really, really talk about this for, you know, forever. But I say this to you as much as I say it to myself as a reminder, because I need to remember this stuff too. I'm not perfect with this either. And you may hear me use these phrases in some of the shows. And again, it's just all about bringing this into our awareness. Okay, so what do you do about this going forward? How do you start to pay attention to this? And I think the biggest thing is you've got to notice your language. It's having that general awareness that there are phrases that are going to stop you from getting you what you want, and taking a look at those and being willing to adjust your language accordingly. So are you using clear and strong languages? Are you using clear and strong statements to the universe, right? When you start to pay attention to this, you know, think about these things. Or are you using dead fish, weak ass language, like "kind of," or "I can't," or "but," and things like that, right? So start to pay attention to those as you go through your week. And you might be surprised at what words you're using once you start to pay attention. And I think the funny thing about this is, like, once you see it or hear it, for example, it's like you can't unhear it or unsee it, right? It's like once you know this, you can't unknow it. And you're going to start to notice this in other people when they use this type of language. And I'm going to guarantee you it's probably going to drive you fucking crazy, because this happens to me all the time. When somebody says something like that, you know, "I'm trying," or "we kind of," I want to say to them, like, "Did you really? Or are you, there's no in between there. So either did or you didn't." But I'm always afraid of coming across too much like a bitch, like especially in work situations. So I don't usually call them out that way. But what I'm getting at is here, once you bring this into your awareness, you can't unknow it. And you're going to start to notice it in other people. So look at that this week. Notice your words and see if you catch yourself using that kind of language. Stop and change it. I mean, change it. You can do that. Just because you've always said it that way doesn't mean you have to say it that way going forward. So speak clearly. You know, after all, your words are what you command to the universe, and you cannot attract what you do not ask for. So if your words are wishy-washy and they're not clear, you're not going to get what you want. But when you start to pay attention and you start to shift that energy around those words, things are going to start turning differently for you. That's how you start to change your life. So my question to you is, what message do you want to send? Do you want to send that wishy-washy on the fence kind of message, or are you strong and clear and I know what the fuck I want and I'm going after it? Which are you? That's what I want you to pay attention to this week. Okay, to recap this week's show. So I've said it probably 100 times, but words matter. Start paying attention to the words you speak and notice if you're proclaiming things that you don't want. Things like, I'm sick, or I'm broke, or are you stopping yourself from taking the next step to something because you keep throwing up the word but in there, or I can't? Or maybe you think you have to do something and you forget that you do have a choice in the matter. So whatever it is for you, start to pay attention to your language and notice how you can make subtle adjustments with your words. So instead of saying things like, I am whatever the negative thing is, right? Shift that. Maybe it's just, I'm learning, or I'm moving forward, or I'm in progress, or I'm on the right path. I think a big one is getting out of I have to do something and saying I get to do X, Y, Z, whatever it is. I get to do it. I choose it. And for that, I'm grateful. And in the end, these subtle shifts are going to have big results for you because they're going to start to shift how you view yourself and the world and the outcomes that you get. So let's talk about songs to close out the day's show. So, all right. So the intro song is Codes by Ellie Goulding. I always feel like I say that name weird, but I think the song is so fitting with this topic today because in the song, she's obviously talking about a relationship, right? She's talking about talking in codes and for the person to stop talking in codes because she doesn't really know what to do. And there's so many things, you know, they could be doing other than her trying to decipher what he means. And there's a line where she says, stop talking in codes. Let me know what's up. I can't do it no more. And I think we can take that same lesson and apply it with our conversations with the universe, right? So stop talking in codes to the universe. Say what you mean. Say what you want. Demand what you want and don't be afraid of it. Watch the words that you choose. Watch the words that you use and choose your words wisely because you are really creating what you speak, whether you know it or not. All right, outro song today is People Can Change. And oh my God, you guys, this song. I can hardly get through this song without crying. This is by Lucy Silvas. This is off her new album. And I've talked about Lucy a lot on the show because I love her so much. But I feel like this song is just so beautifully written. And I really wanted to share it with you this week. It doesn't necessarily go with anything that we're talking about, but it's just been on my rotation, one of the songs I'm wearing into the ground. And to me, this song is about two people who in the past hurt each other, but they're coming back together, maybe intentionally or unintentionally over time. And what they see in each other is that people can change, right? Like we can forgive someone in the past for hurting us, and we can also forgive ourselves for hurting others and know that people can change. And one of the lyrics she says is that until their dying breath, people can change. And I'm going to cry talking about this because God damn, this song is so emotional for me. But to me, this song also brings to light how you can be one way with a person and then end up being a totally different version of yourself when you find somebody new because of all the things you learned along the way from that other person. And maybe seeing that person again reminds you of how you used to be that different person, but also knowing that it's all okay now because people can change. I mean, you can change and they can change and that's okay. And I used to say this about my ex all the time. If you can just forgive. We didn't work out and that was okay. All the things I said and did. So I love this song. Very emotional for me to listen to this song. I'll be good at forgetting. Give it a listen and let me know what you think. That's it for this week's show. Next week I'll be back. I will have an update for you about my date in Atlanta. But let me know what you find after you start to pay attention to your words this week. Send me an email, SloaneFremont@gmail.com. Or you can find me on the socials under Sloan Fremont. And if you like this podcast, as always, please share it with someone you think can benefit from this message. Abracadabra, now go forth and create what you speak.